This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. Well, Dreamlanders, today we have a new guest, someone who has never been on the show, who, to my knowledge, has not done much major media in the United States at all. But I think he is well worth listening to and learning from. Michael Feely is a former UK police officer. He was an investigator for 17 years, which helps in what we're going to talk about, because we're going to go to ancient Egypt in a very new way, and a lot of other places too, because this is a man with a mission, and he has really been deeply inspired. Let me put it this way. We're going to be asking questions about who the Egyptian gods really were. What does Christ actually mean? What is the hidden meaning of Tutankhamun's death mask? But before that, Michael, let's talk a little bit about you and let the listeners know who Michael Feely is, a police officer for 17 years, and suddenly he's traipsing around in Egypt, turning over secrets that have not perhaps been revealed with any clarity for thousands of years. What in the world happened?
Well, thank you for having me on your show, Whitley. Well,
oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. Well, yes, I was an emergency response frontline police officer in the UK, and I worked mainly city areas, London being one of them. So it was quite an experience. And as part of that experience, I used to investigate crime scenes, various crimes of different degree and severity. And it gave me lots and lots of sort of investigative experience and how to find evidence and how to piece that evidence together. Because a crime scene, the evidence speaks volumes. It speaks higher than sort of any other voice that may be at the scene. The evidence speaks to you. So that sort of moved me forward. But in 2009, I was having all kinds of what you would deem sort of supernatural paranormal experiences, and I would have UFOs above me in broad daylight, 300 or 400 feet above me, cigar-shaped UFOs. I would have, on a couple of occasions, I've had sort of portals or dimensional gateways open up in front of me.
Well, what would that look like?
Well, the first one I saw in the night sky, it was sort of a wormhole, and it appeared like a streak of light, but a permanent streak of light across the sky. And as I observed the wormhole sort of developing and expanding in length, I could actually see what appeared to be some kind of craft emanating from the end of the wormhole. And it was sort of like a disc sort of shape. And that traveled away from the wormhole for probably less than a mile across the sky. And then the wormhole just simply disappeared. But then probably about 4 or 5 seconds later, the craft also disappeared. So that was the first dimensional gateway. The second one was that I was actually walking through a forest at night with my wife and some friends. And all of a sudden, in the dense forest, we saw a beautiful white light that was so big and powerful, it actually hurt us. Hurt the eye to actually look directly into it. And we had to turn away, but my wife actually took a picture of that. And the picture was slightly different to what we saw by the naked eye. The picture was different colors and different sort of orb shapes around that sort of area. And so there's been lots and lots of things happening with gateways, with UFOs, with sort of ghosts, poltergeist activity. I had a ghost once try to possess me. I actually showed the last moments of life of a 14-year-old teenager who had actually lived in Victorian England. So we were looking at sort of the 1850s. So there's lots and lots of things.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yep, certainly. My wife as a child, she used to live in what was known locally as the haunted house of the street. And there was lots and lots of paranormal activity going on in that house. And through various mediums, psychic mediums and whatever, she was, in later life, she was told that there was a young girl, a teenage girl, who had actually attached herself to my wife's energy. So she was what's called an earthbound spirit, a spirit attachment. So anywhere that my wife went, obviously this girl went. And when we actually got together and we met, and as I say, a couple of years later in 2009, which was the flux of everything that was happening to me, she basically told us through a medium that she wanted us to investigate her death because it had been covered up. And we subsequently found out that she'd actually been murdered by her stepfather. But what we didn't realize, we actually had the spirit of the stepfather with us as well. So we'd actually got the stepfather smashing windows in the house, trying to split myself and my wife up with negative energy and different things happening. And he was basically trying to still get at this girl, his stepdaughter, the victim, 159 years later, in the spirit world, in mine and my wife's energy field. And one evening on the anniversary of her death, which was in the February of 2009 that we experienced this, we had to leave our house because there was lots and lots of strange things going on. And, you know, radiators in the house were going from boiling hot because it was winter and they go freezing cold. The atmosphere would go freezing cold. So much so that we actually had to leave the house for the evening and we went to my wife's mother's because she had knowledge of this girl having been in that sort of environment all her life as well. And to cut a very, very sort of long story short, we went to bed that evening and probably about 3:30 in the morning, I just remember being in an old sort of Victorian wooden house. And the last thing I remember was a girl's voice saying, "Here he is." And I could actually see a door opening in the bedroom and the curtains moving as if somebody was walking in to the bedroom. And again, to cut another long story short, in the February in 1850, this girl had been suffocated and murdered by her stepfather. And I actually woke up screaming as if I was being suffocated and murdered. So he was actually showing me the last moments of her life. And this was really absolutely massive, massive awakening for us both.
So basically what happened was you had in 2009 an awakening. I know many people who have had awakenings of different kinds, and this is certainly a powerful one in that it starts with these what you describe as wormholes or sightings of interdimensional gateways, and then moves on into a new level of being where you are living inside time as always, but also to a degree outside of time because you are reconnecting with people from the past who are for one reason or another restless and unhappy and therefore trapped in this plane. So that's the beginning then. 2009. Prior to that, a police officer. I know a good bit about policing in England, and it's not easy. So I respect you greatly for that. The next step, though, what happens next in your life? And free Dreamlanders, before we go to that place, to the next step, as we move towards some of the most extraordinary material about the Great Pyramids and about Egypt you're ever going to hear, we take a brief break.
Supernatural, a new vision of the unexplained by Whitley Strieber and Jeff Kripal. It's being called the most important book on unexplained phenomena in 40 years. As Strieber opens up with startling new stories of his life in the unexplained, Professor Kripal, one of our leading experts on the supernatural, comments, bringing powerful insights to the enigma. Dr. Joycelyn Godwin of Colgate University calls Supernatural a dream come true. Jacques Vallée says Supernatural is exceptional. And Kirkus Reviews raves that it's thought-provoking and intelligent. Supernatural. The close encounter experience as you have never known it before. Get it today in hardcover or electronic format wherever books are sold.
This is Whitley. Supernatural is now out in a beautiful new large format paperback. If you haven't gotten it, get it now at your bookstore or on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. It is really beautiful.
Ever wonder which Whitley Strieber books are available and where you can get them? Now you can go to Whitley Strieber's dedicated book website, Strieber.com, and shop for every Whitley Strieber item that's available. Many of them are available in electronic form, as well as hardcover and paperback. Experience the magic of transformation, the insights of breakthrough, the joy of miraculous journey. Join Whitley on the wondrous journey of that is his life. Thrill to his fiction, the magic of Orenda, the startling power of Alien Hunter, and so much more. Go to Strieber.com now and explore.
We're talking to Michael Feeley. He's the author of quite a few books, and we're going to kind of range around. But the one that really captured me is The Secrets of the Pyramids, A Message for Humanity. You can get the book from Amazon, go through our website or to Michael's webpage. Michael's webpage is michael-feeley.com. That's michael-feeley.com. You can click on his book list, and it's extensive. And so, Michael, you end up with this in this situation. And what happens next? You change completely. You begin to write. What was the first thing that came to your mind and that you began to write about?
Well, the first thing really was the story of the ghost girl who showed us the last moments of her death. And we wanted to sort of put that out into the public domain, because surely other people may have experienced it or may well experience it in the future. And it was almost like a
police story, isn't it?
It certainly is. Because I mean,
a policeman would be brought to. In other words, she saw that she could reach you and that you could investigate this successfully. It's fascinating. But go ahead.
And that's exactly what she said, because she felt that we would be able to investigate and get to the bottom of her death, because it was covered up at the time. And she couldn't leave this plane because she had unfinished business. And that unfinished business was the fact that her story had not got out. And there was some kind of story about her dying from Vial's disease, which is a disease caught from rats, which obviously was not correct. She was actually murdered.
And this let the listeners know that this is an ebook called When Murder Travels Through Time, which you can get from his website, from michael-feeley.com. And can U.S. citizens buy this, or is it restricted in some way for sale in the U.S.?
No, it's available globally, so anyone can sort of download it from those networks.
Oh, good. So it's not like an Amazon.co.uk ebook would be.
No, it's on there, but it's also on Amazon.com as well for the United States.
So there's lots of ways to get it. It looks like it's about $3, and it might be really a lot of fun to read. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that ebook certainly goes into a lot of detail about the events leading up to it and what exactly happened and the medium's involvement in that. But that really, with everything happening at once almost, with the UFOs, if anyone's ever seen the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when certain members of the cast are getting subliminal messages to be at a certain place at a certain time, that's happened to me as well. And I've been invited to certain places. I've had to drive probably about an hour or so from where I live. But again, it was sort of monoliths and stone circles. But I was invited there, and I was actually shown the evening before how that night would sort of pan out and what would happen. And that's exactly what happened. So I've sort of had that experience of being invited as well to certain locations, just like that movie. So all these things were happening at the same time, and it was primarily in the year 2009, and that really turned me from a run-of-the-mill sort of investigative police officer to seeing a wider reality, and I could actually sense that my energy was being diverted away from that career, from that form of employment, to actually go down a wider reality and sort of introducing a wider reality to as many people as is possible.
So you were in training. is what happened, essentially. You were awakened, and you were in training. And let me now get to another level of this that you don't really talk about directly in any of your materials, but that must be a big part of it. You've done this before. You're too well versed in this. You're not a beginner. Where do you think you come from in terms of the past?
I have a very, very sort of deep connection to the ancient Irish kings, who in turn have a descendancy from the pharaohs of Egypt.
From Egypt, and that's correct.
From Egypt. And ironically, probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I actually turned around and there was actually a pharaoh of Egypt in full headdress walking beside me. During the writing of the Pyramids book, I was getting manifestations of scarab beetles coming out of the wall. I was seeing serpents of light.
When you say manifestations, what do you mean?
As in, I'd be sort of in the living room of my own house, and I was sort of looking in a certain direction of the house, and forming almost like an apparition out of nothing would be a cobalt blue scarab beetle. And then at the same time, I'd look down and actually see a serpent of light scurrying away from my feet across the floor. So I believe that I have a druid, Celtic Irish king, pharaoh of Egypt connection.
Of course, the serpent of light is the central image in the pyramid text in the temple of pyramid of Unas. That is the soul in some way. But let's go on. However, before we do that, Free Dreamlanders, we will take our last break of the show with you and do everything that you're told in these ads or not. We'll be right back.
Listen to some words from one of our longtime subscribers.
As a subscriber of Dreamland for many years, it's been an incredible adventure and truly a Rosetta Stone for so many of the experiences that all of your listeners have had. Please join us. It's a fantastic ride. But I will say that certainly Dreamland does reflect something that I've always known, that man's mind mirrors a universe that mirrors man's mind. And no other place will you get this truth than on Dreamland. Come join us.
Not too many shows get endorsements like that from people who have been with us for years. Join us. Join the fun. Join the adventure. Join the exploration. $4.95 a month, $39.50 a year, 6 month and 3 month subscriptions too. Go to unknowncountry.com, click on the subscribe tab on the upper right, and get aboard. You will not be sorry. It's a great experience to be part of this community.
Aloha, Jeremy Vaney here, and I want to tell you about my latest undertaking, OurUndoing.com. OurUndoing.com is a multimedia website where if you watch, if you read, if you listen, without trying to absorb knowledge like we do with normal learning, and without the normal judgmental filters that we use to compare and contrast so-called spiritual knowledge, if we watch, if we read, if we listen without all of that, we may just wake up to our full human nature. That is what this website is for. It's not about what we're doing, it's about who we are, truly are, when we're off the pendulum of duality. If your life is about seeking truth above all else, look no further. Join me at OurUndoing.com.
This is Whitley Strieber. We're talking to Michael Feeley. His new book, The Secrets of the Pyramids, A Message for Humanity. Is it worth your time? Oh, yes, it certainly is worth your time. You can go to michael-feeley.com to explore him and his work, his many other books, to get a feeling of what this very unusual man has been doing since he had an awakening in 2009. Many people who have had similar awakenings have been on this program. We're good at finding them. thankfully, and I almost didn't find Michael. I almost told him I didn't want to do the show. Now, your wife, you mentioned you always speak in terms of we. I'd like to know what your wife's role is in this, if I may.
Yep, certainly. Well, I actually met my wife in 2006, where synchronicities sort of brought us together. She was a police officer as well, and she'd actually come to my team from another team. And as a result of that, we obviously got to know each other and work together in the capacity of police officers. And that's really how we sort of formed a relationship. So certainly in the earlier days with the UFOs, with the dimensional portals, with the ghost girl of Victoria in England, she was present as well. And she also witnessed the same thing at the same time as me. And a lot of these were actually witnessed while we were actually at work in the police force. So that's her connection, and our earlier books were sort of co-authored between us. But now she's veered off to do more of the healthy living, healthy foods, fluoride in water, sort of chemtrails in the air type of thing, whereas I'm moving towards the ancient mysteries and the true origins and meanings of what we are missing.
Okay, so you're not working directly together, but you're working sort of on parallel tracks now, is what you're saying.
We certainly are. We're still working together, but we're sort of taking a sort of preferred path, but it runs parallel to the other one.
Right. Well, they're both paths are very important to the health of souls, because you can't have a healthy soul if you have a polluted body, and or you can't. You can't connect with your soul as deeply as you should. And a lot of these very heavy pollutants that are in our atmosphere and in our being forced into our bodies by the fast food experts and so forth are important to understand so we can avoid them as much as possible. So that's very important work. Now, let's get to this decision. You decide you're going to take a trip. And you decide on Egypt. Egypt seems to be calling you. And you decide to go. Now, there happened something rather extraordinary at that point in your life. Could you tell us about the email from the psychic?
Yep, certainly. We were deciding, as you say, we wanted to go on holiday, but we were getting a strong call, an inevitable pull that we couldn't ignore to go to Egypt. And so it was decided, it was booked, we paid for it. But probably a couple of weeks before we went, we received an email from a psychic medium from Scotland in the UK who we didn't know.
You didn't know, and yet, okay, go ahead.
But she said she'd been asked to contact us by what she said was her counsel. And it was a council from the spirit world, and it sort of involved archangels and different sort of characters of public fame. And she basically said that regarding your trip to Egypt, you need to look past the tourism. You need to learn about her, understand her, and then teach about her. And a messenger will find you. And this didn't really mean too much to us because, as I say, we didn't know this lady. She'd just been prompted to contact us and deliver this message. And so this was in 2010, and it's only now in 2017 that message is now beginning to make complete and perfect sense to me. The holiday was more than just a holiday. It was opening up certain keys. It was opening up certain genetics within that we're now to sort of stand us in good stead for this present time.
So off you go. And you land in Egypt. Cairo is a revelation, I think, not because it's so beautiful, because it's so very crowded. And then keep telling us the story of this first journey to Egypt. Then we're going to get more deeply into the second half of the show, into a remarkable revisioning of our own past and the significance of things like the Egyptian gods and Christ and the relationship between our modern religions and ancient Egypt, which is really profound. But tell us now, you're in Egypt for the first time. Continue to let us know what is happening. Where are you? And you're going to museums. And at some point, though, something really remarkable happens.
Well, we're basically in Egypt. We stopped in Sharm el-Sheikh, which was the tourist aspect, and we caught an internal flight to the pyramids themselves. And we sort of did the Cairo Museum, and we did the pyramids, and we actually went inside the Great Pyramid. But again, we just knew there was something much deeper, although we couldn't quite put our finger on it at the time. And again, it's only now, sort of 7 years on, that it now begins to make perfect sense with the message and with the trip. But the trip was, we were sort of guided to certain places like the Sphinx and say the pyramids, and it was completely crowded. You could hardly move. It was like sardines in a tin. But when we got to the Sphinx, it just suddenly opened up for us, and we were just able to get as close as we possibly could to that monument. So we think that there's all these different things at play, and then there's different things going on for us. But it was all in preparation for now.
In prep, and so it was preparation. And then where did you go from there? Because you're beginning to understand some things and beginning to see some things.
We are. I'm certainly beginning to see certain visions of things that may well be underneath these monuments. I'm certainly getting bits and bits of information. But it's information, but without at that point joining any dots.
I didn't see it in the book, and it may be there. I'm not sure. But is this, in a sense, memory? In other words, are you, you have a bloodline, and you talk in the book about the importance of bloodlines, through the ancient, Irish kings. But do you think you had lives or a life in Egypt?
I certainly do. We were once told, again, I say we, myself and my wife, I have been told that we did once live in Egypt together. I do believe that is correct, due to the absolute sort of real inner connection to that land, to the ancient mysteries of that land. And I do believe that at some point I was actually an initiate of this great knowledge.
Well, I think you must have been, because you couldn't have gotten as deep into this as you have. And now, in the second half of the show, we're going to go deeper into these significances and meanings. But before that, I would like to discuss the Egyptian roots of royalty and government, which you talk about in quite an interesting way in chapter 4. Can you talk a little bit about your vision of bloodlines? And let's talk, for example, about the fact that Kate Middleton is supposedly a commoner, but she's actually the cousin of Prince William, of her husband.
That's correct. She's also a relative of George Washington as well. When we see the concept of royalty, and obviously in the UK it's quite big, royalty emanates from ancient Egypt. In fact, Isis means she of the throne. So anything that is royal or royal connected stems from ancient Egypt. And it's been proven by genealogists that I think all of your American presidents, bar one, has been related to the pharaohs of Egypt. They are also related to European royalty, which includes British royalty. And when we have the likes of...
Which one is out?
It's many hundreds of years ago. It began with a B, but I can't quite remember who it was. But it's literally just one of them out of all the American presidents. And that then goes through, as I say, to European royalty and British royalty. And when we have the likes of the former UK British Prime Minister David Cameron, he's also related to the Queen, etc., etc. And all this stems from ancient Egypt. When you look at British culture and also American culture, you know, you have the White House and the Oval Office. That comes from Egypt. The Oval Office is related to Isis, and the pituitary gland of the brain. And the ancient capital. In what sense? The pituitary gland and the womb is connected to the goddess of motherhood, which is Isis. And the pituitary gland is the oval shape, which is connected to it, as is the womb. And when you have the likes of the White House, the ancient capital of Egypt before Cairo was Memphis, and Memphis means white walls. When you look at eating the hot dog in American society, eating the hot dog comes from what was called dog days, where in the months of July and August, the sun was so hot that the Egyptians used to sacrifice a dog to appease the heat, because they believed that our sun was actually powered and created by Sirius A, which was Isis, and that was where it got its power from. So they used to actually sacrifice a dog to appease the heat. That is the hot dog.
You so see, all these. Folks, why I'm so interested, very interested in Michael's approach. This is absolutely fascinating. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so when you look at these things as well, and when the Declaration of Independence was signed on the 4th of July, these dates are chosen for us a specific reason. On the 4th of July, Sirius A is the furthest away from the sun. It's out of sight. And the Founding Fathers wished to commemorate that. And they signed the Declaration in Philadelphia. Philae is where the Temple of Isis is in Egypt. And Delphi, Delphos means the womb. So again, we're talking about the goddess of motherhood, Isis. And that's the exact reason that the declaration was signed on that particular date in that particular location. So there's lots and lots of your history and lots of history of mine. When we look at the British House of Commons and Big Ben, the big clock, Ben comes from the Ben Benet, which is the capstone of the pyramid. And the River Thames formerly used to be called Isis. So yeah, again, we have all these Egyptian symbols in your society and mine going all the way into government.
And you know what has happened, folks, basically is this. The ancient Egyptian system has migrated into the Anglo-Saxon world, essentially, and to a lesser extent into France. But that's why someone like William Henry speaks so eloquently of these things, and why Michael, who has got some real information from real deep in this world, speaks similarly and with such eloquence about these new envisionings of our world and our reality. We've come to the end of the first half of the show, and now when we return in a moment, we're going to go more deeply than ever into this remarkable story. Michael's book, The Secrets of the Pyramids, A Message for Humanity, it's very accessible and approachable, and we're just skimming the surface. There's much more there. You can get it from Amazon. You can get it by going to Michael's website, michael-feely.com, and you should do so because it's an important website, and his work and his wife's work together are important work, I think. So, Free Dreamlanders, thank you for being with us. Subscribers, we'll keep on keeping on.